The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I am a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me, or across side from me, across the table from me right now is Stephen English.
Yeah, what's up?
You'd like to say... Stand-up comedian and producer of this podcast. Thank you, Backseaters, for tuning in. We are so excited to give to you today's episode. It is an epilode.
It's going to...
What would you think an epilode is?
It's an episode so good it gives you epilepsy.
That's a good episode.
You'll
That's
never
like that
be
old
able to...
Peter Gabriel video from the 80s. Sledgehammer. Like, this video is so good you may have a seizure. That's a good video. That video is woke. Or lit. That video is... It's so sad when I say it.
Oh, man. I almost
I feel like every time I
up.
Say... I'm at that age now where like I could say... a popular word around my kids and me saying it,
kill it.
Would end them saying it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Oh yeah, definitely.
I also feel like right now they hate anything that I like. And so like there are some things that are important for me for them to like.
Sure.
So I've considered hating it.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like it's really important to me that my kids like grunge music.
Sure.
Because like it's the most important genre of music to me as a kid who grew up in Seattle in the 90s.
Right, because that was always...
I want to like go into their room and be like, you know who sucks? Nirvana.
Yeah.
You know who's the worst band ever? Pearl Jam.
Yeah, turn
the
that
worst.
Pearl Jam down.
Yeah. Oh. Awful. Just... Anyway, so we have a great episode today. We have an episode with A.G., from the unbelievably popular podcast, Mueller, She Wrote.
Mueller.
So you guys are going to get into this. This is unlike, Stephen, would you agree? This is probably different than, has a different tone.
Yeah.
And different topics than anything we've ever talked about on
For
our
sure.
podcast. Even though we do talk a lot about family.
Yeah.
And we talk a lot about AG's family. And as we get into it, really at the beginning, you will find out why we say AG as opposed to her full name.
Yes.
Which is very interesting and it involves the president
mm-hmm.
of the United States of America. if any of you are avid podcast listeners, then you already know the Mueller, She Wrote podcast. It is just a very, very popular, very successful, very interesting podcast. And it is done by three comedians that Stephen and I both know and work the scene with. And AG is a comedian that I've known for a long time and has been very funny. And I've worked alongside for a long time. And then recently, over the last year and a half, I think 2 years, she says, this podcast has really taken off. And it's great. It's a unique, interesting, insightful podcast of which three people put a lot of work and time and thought and effort and research into. So regardless of whether or not you agree or disagree with it, I always recommend diving in and listening to this stuff in this podcast. So
it's a good podcast.
It's fantastic. So this is easily our most political podcast. Agree or disagree?
Oh, 100% agree.
Yeah. Being that we mention anything to do with politics at all. People be like, what do you think about Trump? Or like, what do you think about your mom leaving? That's what, that's more the things that I'm interested in. But we do talk about AG's life quite a bit.
Yeah.
Specifically her time in the military.
Yep.
What that experience was like for her. And then also we talk some politics. We talk her individual life and upbringing and Catholic school and relationship with parents and marriage and all kinds of funny stuff. So, yeah. You know, we're still a funny podcast about family in this. But we encourage you guys to, I don't know, if I was a backseater, which I am, I'm one of the few people who's probably listened to every episode, maybe the only person that's listened to every episode.
I have not.
Yeah. I'd be excited, like, oh, I'm going to hear something new on this one today. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode with AG and check out hers and their podcast, Mueller She Wrote. That's how you find it on Instagram and Twitter, Mueller, as in Robert, M-U-E-L-L-E-R, She Wrote. That is their handle on Instagram and Twitter. You telling me to speak right in the mic?
Speak into the microphone.
I'm like right here. Look, I haven't even...
Like a professional comedian.
See,
man.
Here's the thing.
Like you do this
you
for a living.
You rebuke me for this all the time.
I rebuke thee.
And my mouth is... I'm making out with this microphone.
That's why. Yeah, that's what.
This microphone could press charges against me if this was not okay. This is going to go down a road that I don't want it to go down on.
Yeah, just give me more work to do.
I am. You're trying to rebuke me, but I'm right here. Listen, it's when you're an eccentric artist like me.
Oh my God.
You know, it's not. I can't be that controlled.
You're like the Pearl Jam of podcasts.
I just can't be that calculated. You understand? I just have to go as my art fuels me. Oh my gosh, that is! I've said some pretentious things on this podcast.
You're so lucky that
I've talked about
more than
how
arms
much
reach
time
away from
I
me.
Spend in first class and the Delta Lounge, and how I like things like yoga and golf. And that is easily the most pretentious thing.
I've never wanted to slap you more in my life.
Hey, cool! Thanks for turning off your cell phone before we sat and did. Thank you.
Don't rebuke me.
You are overpaid.
You shan't rebuke me.
Melissa, how are the lunches coming? We are in my kitchen right now. today's intro is recorded at the dining room table of the Nickerson household. Steven's not paying attention.
I am
on his phone.
I'm helping my wife.
So I decided I would talk
test.
To my wife, who just finished making lunches, and now is going to do some stretching. She's been having some. What's this stretching for? TMJ. Do you know what TMJ is?
Too many jowls.
Too many jowls. Too many jobs around the house. Am I right? She works hard. she's got the jaw problems. It's not a real thing. It's one of those things. You're like, my jaw hurts, and like, what should we? They won't stop whining. Let's make up a disease. It's called TMJ. Here, put a block in between your knees. That'll fix it. I'm sorry. She suffers from a lot of pain. Actually, it's pretty serious.
Again, the mother of your children.
Yeah, she's in a lot of pain. Let's see. I've aired your psoriasis on this podcast, and now we at. Yeah. So we are off the rails already.
Yeah. I'm trying to see. 7:37. We'll come. No. Back. We'll come back in on that. We'll come back in at 7:37.
Listen, I too have been doing some stretching. I think I've told you that. I told you the story of when I went in with knee pain.
Yeah.
And I've been doing like yoga stretches because they said the reason that my knee hurts is because my hamstrings are too tight.
Yes.
And so I've been doing a lot of yoga. And what I think I've been noticing is that I think I swear more than you're supposed to during yoga. Like, I'm not doing these classes. I'll just be doing it by myself.
Right.
And I don't use a lot of the curse words, general.
Yeah.
But I do a lot when I'm stretching my hamstrings. It's just the thing that comes out. And they're like, the end, they're like, namaste. And I'm like, I sound like a Samuel L. Jackson movie. Can someone turn off their phone? In this podcast, I spent all this money to get
studio?
This professional studio right here.
Yeah.
And no one in this room can turn it. We're surrounded by my kids' lunches, a leprechaun trap right there, and Fantastic Gymnastics Vault Challenge, which is not a paid sponsor. And
ooh.
Fittingly.
She did not stick the landing.
Listen, we've had some bad intros, and
This is one of them.
No, actually, I think this one's pretty good. I think this one is pretty good. yeah, so it's an interesting general experience.
You do the hot yoga?
That I do power yoga. I have yoga. Two videos that I'll do. Like, one's like the warm up one,
sure,
where it's just like this one thing that you're supposed to do like 4 or 5 times in a row. Uh-huh. And I was like, it feels pretty good. It's like, but like a 3-minute jog would get you just as loose, you know. but then I do the actual workout and I'm dying.
Right.
I just can't. And then when you're like, it's just you in the video, you don't have anyone else who's bad at it to look at to sure. encourage you.
Get a mirror. Put a mirror in front of you. Then you well, act then like there's got, another yeah, dude
that's
there.
That's
the thing.
But that's what I'm comparing, like how high my hamstring goes up in the air
sure.
versus hers. And it's like me versus like an actual like NBA player.
You don't look you know? Like an actual. She doesn't look like the same species.
No, she's a professional.
Yogateer.
Yogi.
Is that's yours are probably right. Mine's probably not right.
I don't. They cannot yogateer? Be yogi. Is there a comparative yogist. Religion it's major anywhere in here?
The oh, professional wait
a
yogist.
A yogist. It's a yogurt, actually. Oh. Yo play.
Smack yourself, please.
Oh, man. I don't. One thing, though. I don't know. I don't know, man. I'm trying to do my best.
Trying.
I'm telling you that all the time. Yeah. I'm trying to like do my best.
It does
best.
Not show. Just let you know. I mean, I get the sentiment, but it's
I'm
not
trying
showing.
To eat healthier. Yeah. I'm trying so hard, but I can't. I can't stop eating all the snacks
you
because
just
around
see
my
the
house
look on this man's face
all the time around my house are sweets, yeah. and just contain like munchie mugs full of sweets
oh,
and containers.
My God,
just munchie mugs full of. Goldfish crackers that none of them have spilled on the floor, so I have they're fresh, they're ready to eat. I can't even I have to eat them. They didn't spill. Yeah. They didn't hit the floor. You know why? Because Munchie Mug is the best spill proof cup on the market. See, here's the thing about Munchie Mug. Not only is it the best spill proof cup on the market,
yeah,
you can get it in a ton of different colors.
Yeah,
you can get it variety of the how do you want to look, what colors do your kids like, the design,
yeah.
and it's going to make your life easier because not only do you have fresh snacks around the house now that aren't spilling on the floor, also your house is less messy. There's free shipping. It's made in the USA. You can go to, and maybe best news of all, you can go to munchiemug.com and
yeah.
type in promo code don't make me, that is one word, don't make me, and get 25% off of your order. So everybody check out Munchie Mug today.
Hallelujah.
People are getting I wanted to read this to you. People, their favorite thing about this podcast has become our ad.
Yeah.
Which, listen up, sponsors. If you ever want, if you ever want a good one, someone said this today. Said what do I like about this podcast? The banter, the revelation of a recording in a car, and Dustin's surprise use of the week for Munchie Mug. The guest interviews are really great too. I started a podcast that I thought would be a great way to have conversations with people about their uh-huh. lives and their family. And instead, people are like, oh, it's pretty funny how you work in your
just
ads.
Just one idiot every week.
Oh, man.
Just
that being said, this is one of our best interviews, one of our most interesting interviews, one 100%. Of our funniest. I laughed.
Yeah.
I get a little nervous in the beginning. It's really funny and it's an interesting. And we actually recorded it at the podcast of Mueller She Wrote. So we went to the site itself.
Yeah.
So everybody, please enjoy this episode with AG from Mueller She Wrote. And always feel free to rate and subscribe and give us reviews and all those kind of things. And shoot us an email at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Thanks, guys. Enjoy this episode.
See ya.
So are there, with that though, are there things that you can't talk about yourself then? Like,
I can't tell you what agency I work for. I can tell you I work for the federal government, but I can't tell you what agency and I can't tell you what my title is.
Let's start this all over because I want all of this on air because I'm so interested in all of this. But I will. So why don't we start? Because you and I have been friends now for 6-7 years.
About that, yeah.
You've had a dominant shadow over the San Diego comedy scene since I was a little open micer as one of our true headliners. But
it's
now,
really only physical, though, because I am pretty tall.
Yeah, exactly. Explain to me why I can't call you your name. As of right now, I come into this secret studio right here. And now I'm not allowed to call you what I've called you for 7 years.
And it's funny, right? Because that's what everybody knows me as.
Yeah.
And so finally, I get a podcast. I put a podcast together, and I break through, right? I get an agency. I get a manager. I'm like, and no one can know who I am. So how wonderful is that?
So you are AG.
Yeah, I go by AG. And the reason is because my podcast is mostly political.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a law called the Hatch Act, which says if you are a federal government employee, whether you're a political appointee or whether you're a civil servant hired as a GS or in the executive pay scale, you cannot promote or oppose a political candidate for public office that runs on a party.
Sure.
And Trump, the day he got into office, he filed for re-election for 2024 or 2020.
Just went right to it. Didn't mess around.
There's a lot of money.
Sure.
So, and he is able to spend his donations from his supporters on things like legal fees and Air Force One and Trump hotels.
Interesting.
And so he immediately filed for that. And so since he is the whole time he's been in office, so he's a federal candidate for public office, I am not allowed by law. I am technically, but not during work hours, and it has to be, and I just would rather not him
sure.
not know who I am.
Because
after about a year of him being in office, I found out that he actually made a General Counsel Freedom of Information Act request for my employee records.
And for you personally?
Yes.
Wow.
And I don't know if it was as part of a group or if it was me separately, and I also couldn't find out why. So I just try to maintain a low profile and try not to violate the law. So I probably take more steps than I need to, but that's why.
So are there times that you just miss performing for some rowdy drunks on a Wednesday as opposed to having the president trying to figure out who you are?
I still do it. Every once in a while, if I have time, I'll take a show and perform for some rowdy drunks. My favorite.
I don't mean that. But I mean that this is, you don't like that. Take it to a different level of intensity, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Different drunks.
Yeah. Everything about the whole vibe, like when you mentioned that, I'm like, and now I'm like, I was like, the walls have ears. We're just in this room that you curtained off all of a sudden, and now I don't get to call you your name.
Right.
I'm terrified.
I know. I bring you in and I sit you down. Yeah. I close all the curtains and say, and you can't use my name.
Yeah. We're blindfolded on the way in. Which
I'm
was a
still
nice
blindfolded.
Yeah. You can take it off. Take off the blindfold.
I'm like the assistants in the Prestige at the end, you know? I don't, that's a very specific reference. Fair, anyone? Yeah. No, okay.
And you asked if you could set up a camera. And I mean, technically you can because showing your face doesn't violate the Hatch Act, but I also just got back from the gym. I look terrible.
Sure. Still a human. Yeah.
Vanity still applies. Right.
So how much of your life do you spend like worrying about anonymity?
Not much, honestly.
I still see you being pretty feisty on the Facebook and so on and so forth.
Yeah, and it's not hard to figure out who I am. It's just I just don't want to toe the line too much.
Sure.
Have him having already gotten my records, I'm like, oh, maybe I should keep it on the DL as much as I can.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow. Has that, because you're married and that's just a new dynamic to the relationship, right? before you had a cool job and you're a great comic and things were just plowing along, you're like, hey, also, the president is interested in what we're doing. How is that affecting?
I'm more worried about the Russians, honestly.
Yeah.
they seem a little scarier than what we got going on now. But no, it really hasn't. I don't make him call me AG or anything. I mean, unless we're getting weird, and that's a different story.
That'd be amazing if you did, though.
Call me AG.
Yeah.
That was I was joking with Melissa, my wife. Or MN, we're just gonna all use. You already went by CT English.
I did.
For a
I
long
used to.
Time.
Yeah. Well, for 3 months.
Yeah, that makes me less excited to make. Particularly the one spy got busted, I was like, I know this is all bad, but part of me, it's just exciting that the world still has Russian spies. Like this is.
Right when you're watching the Americans at home and you're thinking. I actually know who Peter Strzok is, who's the guy who caught all these people.
Right,
and,
right.
And I study him in part of this investigation, and this is all real.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
It's insane.
Oh, man. It's less fun than it was in Rocky and Bullwinkle.
I thought you were going to say Rocky IV.
No. That's real right there. Well, that's an interesting common denominator.
I must break you.
Yeah, when we're like, listen, if we got an American that needs to go against the Russians, their name will be Rocky.
I think so. Yeah. That's true.
So are you allowed to talk about your past as far as like military? I mean, like, are you able to mention the branch you were in or anything like that?
Yeah, I can say I'm a Navy veteran.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's completely fine.
Because one of the things that I, we've had one or two military folks here, and Stephen, I think you did like 6 months in the military.
I was in the Air Force, so I was like military adjacent. I was military adjacent.
One thing that we haven't really dove into a lot that I'm always interested in is not only military, but you were and are currently a female, and were a female in the military. I mean, I know your name is different now. I don't know.
I like how you skirted the PC line there by saying, yeah. I think you still identify as a female.
We haven't caught up.
We're a female. You still act like one. Yes, I am
caught
she,
up in a while.
Her.
I don't know.
I was born this way. Yeah. And even if I weren't, that's fine, too. I do identify as a woman. And I was one of the first women into the nuclear program in the Navy.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that how? So you, what's the percentage like in general? You guys would know this more than me, of women in the military to men.
Maybe it'd be higher, I think, than
the last time I was in, it was growing. It was I only have figures from about 6 or 7 years ago. It was 14% or something like that, and that might just be veterans. For one of the first women in the nuclear program, I arrived. There were me and three other women and like 600 dudes.
Were you fresh out of high school?
No, I waited until I was 21 to join.
Okay, what were you doing? What was life like between the high school and the Navy?
Interesting. I went to college. My father passed away when I was very young. I was 16 years old and my father passed away.
16.
He left me a little money for college. Okay. Tiny bit.
Were you close to him?
Very. Mm-hmm. And he was Air Force.
Okay. There you go.
He passed away at the age of 46 because he of his exposure to Agent Orange in Vietnam.
Oh, my gosh.
And so he had pancreatic cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, double bypass,
so was it
all
surprise,
sorts of things.
Or did you guys kind of all see it coming? Or?
Well, we were young, so it wasn't explained too much to us, so it was pretty surprising. But I went to college on his dime for, 5 semesters maybe. I went to Northern Arizona University, Arizona State University, ran out of college money, moved to Los Angeles to be an actress. Mm-hmm. I was 19, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And what's funny when you're 19 is you don't understand how long it takes to be successful as an actress in Hollywood. Right. I was there literally for about a year. Maybe a year and a half, and I hosted a Queen Mary thing with Oingo Boingo, and I helped build the stage sets for that. And then I was in Army of Darkness, and I was in Wayne's World 2, and I was in I did an extra. I shot a pilot with Rhea Perlman. She was going to go back to college after Cheers, and it was called Pearl. Mm-hmm. And I was in that. The pilot never got picked up, but I was going to be a recurring character on that thing. All this, and I'm like, this sucks. It's not working out.
I mean, you just explain like what most people right now would be like.
Yeah.
Great. Like people would be like, I'm staying for 5 more years.
Great success.
I almost got on this pilot. This pilot almost got picked up. Like I'm staying. That would be it. And like,
yeah.
Yeah. But when you're 19, it's like,
Go back to LA. I go back to LA many, many years later after I was a comedian for 3 years. I actually didn't go because I was a comedian. I went because of the job that I do within the government. I got asked to go up there and help them do something. But I was there for 3 years and I was like, I finally got onto the main stage at the Improv to do 10 minutes, and I finally got to do Venice Underground, and it took me 3 years. And then meanwhile, 20 years earlier, I was in 3 motion pictures as an extra and had a stunt credit in one of them and was doing all this extra shit. And I'm like, this is not going anywhere. I'm joining the Navy. Yeah, so sometimes I wonder, like, well, what would have happened if...
Right. What a backward story, too. Most people leave the Navy. They'd be like, yeah, they get tired of the Navy, and they're like, no, I'm gonna go to Hollywood. Like, no, Hollywood, man. So you go in at 21, yep. And what is? Because I'm married into a military family. Like, my Melissa was like raised in the Air Force, and her dad was a
Colonel Sanders. Her dad was Colonel Sanders.
DH is his name, or CS actually. It's Colonel Sanders. We're doing all.
At least she got the C right.
Yeah,
he didn't call it a K.
Okay, Colonel. Yeah. So you go in at 21.
Yeah.
Are you? What's the immediate as far as like? I'm always just so curious about female on a boat life, like just because it's so military life in general. It's, you know, it's chauvinistic. It's you know, it's alpha male. You know, it's that's in the nature of it, or at least stereotypically. And then you just put it all on a boat too. So now it's bottled up.
You know? The only boats women were allowed on were huge boats.
Oh, interesting.
3,000 to 5,000 personnel aircraft carriers, particularly in the nuke program, because they're the ones with reactors on them. However, I didn't get to a boat because I was in school for so long.
Oh, I see.
So it was immediate nuke power training command in Orlando. But it was still kind of a culture shock. Because it was just so many dudes, for how many women were there.
Sure.
But I mean, it was same kind of struggles. It just a little more amplified, like because it was just all dudes for so long.
Yeah.
That they got used to, and even in engineering parlance, when you talk about male and female components, they were like, "Can we do that anymore?" And I'm just like 21, like do whatever the you want. Yeah. But it's
speaking the language they know
and trying to,
yeah,
because it's, you know, you're trying to fit in. And I've seen it continue on in other areas of life, like gamers. I've seen women attack other women like, you stupid, you just need to lighten up. So what, he had sex with you and you're drunk, just chill the out. And I'm like, you're talking that way because you hang out with gamers. Yeah. Who will attack you if you don't talk like that,
right?
So I see where you're coming from. And then, you know, then they don't talk to me anymore. And that's fine, but I get it. And so you do have to sort of either adapt or become a target.
Right.
Yeah, it feels like there's a tension there of like wanting to become, for lack of a better term, one of the boys, so your life is made easier, but at the same time, helping them evolve.
Yeah, and it's pretty dire too. At least it was for me. It's almost not just talking like one of the boys. The reason I exited the military early was because I was a survivor of military sexual trauma, military sexual assault.
I didn't know that.
So, and I've been in a documentary about it. I've spoken at many colleges and universities about it. So I'm happy to openly talk about it. But it goes so far beyond that sometimes. Where it, you know, to be one of the guys now, to be one of the guys, I have to shut up about what that was and not report it. And then because the people who I work directly with and for, and then also in a secondary, which by itself would be a problem, but because of the other things that had happened, I had an instructor who wanted to date me in order to give me good grades. And so that's just something you go along with in order to be one of the guys. So the being one of the guys is a little more.
Yeah, but you're not a guy. Because, like, they're not treating you like, it's like you're being one of the guys, but it's like you're not on the equal. It'd be one thing if it's like, oh, you're one of the guys, so like, hey, we're gonna go out and have some beers, but you're one of the guys as like, hey, I want to date you, so to get you a, you know, to get you good grades. It's like not like what, you know, it's like you're playing along but not getting any of the benefits of the full thing.
Because if I were truly one of the guys, everybody around me would have taken a bullet for me,
right?
Instead of doing what they did. Yeah. So it's a different dynamic.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, so when, you know, an extreme version of what we think of like happened on the show Mad Men.
That's crazy. I mean, I remember when I was in school I was a linguist, and I spent a lot of time at Monterey. And when we were in school, I remember the first month I was there, they had this big all hands meeting because it was a joint training base. So it was Marines, Air Force, Navy, everybody. They had a all hands meeting because there was a bunch of like the Marines. There was like a big thing going around where all the Air Force girls were being called air mattresses, and everyone there, and like the base commander, it was an army commander, came out and
neither
said,
"Neither of you flinched when
not
you said
even
that."
Clever.
Neither of you guys both are like, yeah. And so like, as a civilian, I was like, "That's
this
the
is
grossest
job.
Thing I've ever this heard."
And I was 26. I was 20. I think I turned 25 actually on my birthday. I was in basic training. I was 25, so I was like kind of older. You know, at this point, I was like, I felt like I was at work. You know, and people are like, so you have this meeting. You're like, okay, this is kind of a weird meeting. And then the next, like a week later, they stopped calling. Then they're like, they said, if you ever hear, like, you know, if anyone hears someone being called an air mattress, it's going to be, we're going to, you know, you're going to get in trouble. Then the next week, oh, then all the girls we called pits. And that was like the new thing. And that was like written all over the wall. Like it was like a whole thing where it was like this big. So it was like trying to correct. It was almost like trying to correct the language almost made it
it's
it
like
worse,
when
which was weird.
Howard Stern was on Clear Channel. He had to be more creative. You know, you can't say, all right, well, I'll say this instead. And,
right.
and so they just find it just move it other ways.
It's just so weird to think that, like, just to be like, to be out, because you're at, you know, you're at work all the time. And even when we're in school, we're still like, that's what our job was. That was my first month in, like, on active duty, like, was that that
they
that
didn't know how
twice.
To correct it. They right, have no idea how to correct it. In fact, on our base, SARP, which is the, I don't know, sexual assault something program, risk prevention.
Okay.
Dumbest thing. They had these giant posters around that said, ask her when she's sober. That was one of their ideas.
That's one of
for how to stop sexual
Let's
assault
put this
in the military.
On a poster.
Ask her when she's sober. That was one of them. Use the buddy system. So, like, they would show these little videos, these training videos. And that was the other thing. They got everybody together in these massive meetings and said, these women are going to make your life hell. And so you have to learn how to be this way now. And so they sit you down and they show you this video of this woman. She's leaving a place, like, at work at night. And she's walking and some guy's all, hey, grabbing at her. And she, like, runs back to the place where she was. And she's like, this guy grabbed me. And the first thing the dude says is, well, you didn't take your buddy. And she's like, a guy grabbed me. Like, why is this my, like, and then she, you know, and then she probably gets written up for not taking her buddy.
Yeah. Right.
They don't write the dude up for grabbing.
I mean,
her.
It's
like,
a good point. They had the buddy rule. I mean,
there's more to grab. This is the guy who's have more. It's what I'm
saying.
Yeah,
I see their point.
It's so crazy. It is really nuts. It's nuts because, you know, there's the whole ideal of, like, you know, you join the military and it's like, you know, you're like, hey, thank you so much, you're doing, you know, like, it's like this, no, like, doing it is this noble thing, and the reality is like a much different not that it's all terrible. I don't want to put it that way, but it is much different than, and I had, and like I said, I had a diet military experience.
Yeah,
I was in school for 2.5 years, two years, and I was in Korea for 2 years and like 3 months.
And it
like,
was the Air Force, let's
and
be fair.
It was
fair.
The Air Force. I wasn't an Army base though, and it was really hard.
Well, you got paid. That's what the money's for.
I didn't even get like a walk-in closet.
My favorite Mad Men line. She's like, it would just be nice if you would thank me for my work. That's what the money's for.
But it is. There's like that weird disconnect between when you think
you're
like going in and then
housewife
you,
here, man.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, we're glad you fly the plane.
Well, you have to think about this. It's a bunch of 18 and 21.
It is. And that's the biggest that's the biggest part. When you're older, especially when you're older, going in there, you like realize really quickly. I mean, I got put in charge of just showing up. I was in charge of stuff just because they're like.
I thought you meant you got put in charge of showing up.
No, just showing up. You get put in charge because you're older than everybody. You're like, oh, you know, even though
you have a higher ASVAB.
Yeah, you just come in there like,
look at this man's beard.
Yeah, like, how did you even come in
with
that?
Patches and some rankings.
Like, I shaved last night. I promise you.
This guy's lived a life.
Yeah,
he's gnarled. Got stories. His beard's older than a lot of these guys. You're salty.
Yeah,
but no, it's true. 26 is really old. I was 21, and they thought I was an old lady.
Yeah,
so
you
it's,
get like, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when you're in school, too, and you're like, yeah, it's all a bunch of kids that are 18, 19, and then you're, like, in charge of, like, making sure kids don't drink in a dorm room when you're like, I'm just trying to, like, I got to study, man. Like, I don't care what these kids are doing.
Yeah.
But you have to, like, be like, well, like, hey, man, you're supposed to be back by 10, you know, like.
Right.
At the same time, I'm just like, I went from being the person who was getting taught, you know, because I still thought I was young. I was 25 years old. Like, ask a 25-year-old if they
I respect
they're in
no
charge.
25
exactly.
Year old, so.
Ask a 25-year-old to be in charge of a Claire's, and they would probably mess it up. You know what I'm saying? So, like, then you come up and you're like, hey, I know you have no experience of being in charge of anybody. I'm also the youngest of, like, all my siblings, so I've never had, like, this.
Right.
And they're like, hey, now here's 30 testosterone-filled, you know, like, men that you have to, like, actually try to, like, take it. And so I didn't take it very seriously.
I remember one of the first military, like, experiences I had was I went to we were going on to a base. So I was with my wife's dad and their family, and we're going on to a base, and you know, I know nothing of this world, absolutely nothing. And we go, and he shows this thing, and it's ID. I'm sure that's what it's called. I'm acting like, what's it called? I don't know.
Shows his nipple.
We're in this. Yeah, like, we're in this. Shows his branding.
Within this thing, it's a car. You're in a car. Yeah, and you're wearing a hat.
Tattooed.
It's all the same words.
What it is.
There was a gate. And, yeah, on a road.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly it. There, it. Then there's some spikes. I mean, recently, honestly, it looked like a. What it, when you leave the rental car center, it was
it's
the same
a toll
idea.
Booth. Yeah.
So we go in, and
except the dude's got a gun,
right?
Well, and that was the joke that he made, because I remember I was like, that was all business, and you know, he's a pretty jovial guy, and he's like, yeah, you don't make jokes with 19-year-olds that have automatic weapons around
them. No, even if they're wearing funny hats.
Yeah. That's not like, hey, you have a little ha-ha time.
You got a little red stripe on your pants. That's cute. What's that about?
So when you like think about it, I don't know how often, I mean, if this is because you had a pretty traumatic experience, but you said you continue to tour and speak about it. Is it, this is getting better? Is this, it still needs voices and advocates as far as the experience goes? I mean, I know there's a, you know, a different layer now too with the, you know, the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the, you know, the transgender argument.
Ban.
Like it's all, you know, there, like there's more to it there. Yeah. But is this something that you feel is getting better, or is it as bad as it's ever been?
I can't speak about the last couple years, but I it has gotten better. I can't tell you why I know that, but
I love this podcast.
It has gotten.
I love speaking in secret.
It has gotten better.
Right now.
The number of reported assaults and harassment has gone up, but that is because there are now things in place,
like mechanisms,
to
yeah.
mechanisms like to allow for those things to happen.
There's more reporting, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of like how all of a sudden average Joe white guy's all, man, there's a lot of black people getting beat up by cops, and we're like, it's always happened.
Yeah.
We just have phones
there's
now
more cameras.
With cameras.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that. We're shedding more light on it, so it seems like it's getting worse, and that's why everyone constantly says it will get worse before it gets better, but I do think it's better. There's more awareness, and then I think the Me Too movement kicked it into overdrive.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's true for any industry, because you know, after getting out of the military and going around the country, being in the film, talking about all that stuff, you become a comedian, and then it happens to you as a comedian, and you're like, this is my escape. This is the one thing I do. I take all of these traumatic stories and I turn them into jokes to make people laugh so that I can get over it. Like, that's what comedy is to me. It's not what it is for everybody, but that's what it is to me. And now you're taking my one safe space, and I hate to use the word safe space, but like the thing that is getting me over this, and you're doing it to me here too, and now I'm pissed. And so I think that is also getting better, and I think that all kind of came to a head when the Me Too movement happened. Unfortunately, what happened to me was way back in the 90s, and so it took, you know, we thought with Tail Hook it would stop, and no. And then we thought now with Me Too, I think these are just big leaps forward, and we're just not quite there. It almost seems asymptotic, like we're never going to get to the to the line. But
that's a word I don't know. You're going to have to define that one for me.
Okay.
I've nodded along on a few things.
Frog.
I need that one.
Frog jumps towards a rock half the distance each time, never gets to the rock. It's graphed like this.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Where the line slowly approaches zero but never gets there.
Okay.
That would be an inverse asymptote, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Dustin, come on, man.
Stop. Air Force, man. Educated Air Force.
Well, I do think it's getting better. I think, and like anything, it will never be where we want it to be. We just have to keep pushing to make it better. But there have been, I think, big leaps forward in these certain instances. And I'm hoping it happens again too. And in fact, when the film came out, it's called The Invisible War. And the coolest thing about that is everyone who was in that film, including myself, they said, we'll do this movie, but we're not bashing the military, right? Because I don't hate the military, and I wouldn't bash the military, and I wouldn't stop anybody from being in the military. And I care very much about it. And so it's interesting that everybody that happened to was like, this isn't an anti-military movie. And it wasn't. And they did a really good job with it. And they put it out. It was Amy Ziering and Kirby Dick, the guy who did Thank You for Not Smoking. And
I love it, yeah.
And so he did a really good job of that. And that movie got a lot of I don't know if it got public movement forward like the Me Too movement did or Tail Hook did, but it at least got like people like Kristen Gillibrand were trying to fight to get the decision about whether or not to prosecute a sexual assault out of the hands of the commander of the base.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason you want to do that is because the commander has a conflict of interest, because if he goes after every rape on his base, then he's got the most rapes of any commander right. on his base. And so
yeah,
he doesn't want to do that. So they're like, take it out of his hands, don't, or her hands, don't make it their fault.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it is, but it isn't. And
right.
you don't want to make it hard. You don't want to make it negative for them to mm-hmm. look into these things. And that failed, unfortunately.
Yeah.
We were part of that lawsuit and they ended up deciding that rape is actually occupational hazard in the military.
Just like slipping on a wet floor.
Straight yeah. up. That's why the people are like, like, well, what would you think if you were going to put women with men?
Oh.
Yeah.
To which I say 13% of people who are raped in the military are men. So is that what happens when you put men with men?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yes.
I just flipped two birds. You in can't that see scenario. It.
It's one of those, like, it's interesting what you said about, like, the reporting thing, because, you know, when progress has metrics like that, then the solutions can be compromised. It reminds me of education. So, like testing, same idea. So testing is the metric, like the statewide testing. And so the teachers know that a test is not the measure of a good student, mm-hmm. or certainly not the measure of a good person. And if they don't focus on the testing, though, then they're the bad teacher,
sure.
you know?
Yep.
So very similar of just like, okay, well, this isn't necessarily preparing this kid for
combine that with paying them $35,000 a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, well, okay, yeah. well, I'm just going to make them pass this test and f*** you.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's my only hope.
I'm going to get into the next grade and then get the next, you know, get the next group in.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, you know, why a lot of people just keep getting up through the system, and why you end up in a college class with people needing to take math 50, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, how did you get here? I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Oh, I.
But why do I have to teach you fractions?
Yeah, I backdoored my way into college with math. It was just like.
That sounds dirty.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, you know, backdooring.
Because I did backdoor my way into those grades at New School, but that was a different.
It's an old Navy term, actually. Yeah. It's.
Back hatch. aft hatch. I aft hatched my way.
I do feel like the way I got my college degree was like gaming the system. Like it was like, and I got a degree from a good school. Like I went to the University of Washington, which is a pretty prestigious school.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they had this thing where they needed more people to go to community college because the universities were full. And so like, listen, like if you go to community college and you graduate with a 2.50, like Ooh-hoo. That's it. We will create a thing called the DTA, which was the Direct Transfer Agreement. It existed for 1 year that I know, and that's how I got into college. I got in an AA.
You wrecked it for everybody else.
And I was
they
like,
were like,
you
we're
said.
Shutting this
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
How did DN get in
yeah.
here?
Yeah.
Shut
get
down.
Him out of here.
And
yeah.
then look at all these juniors' grades. Like, these kids are dumb.
Yeah.
That makes me really excited to have my kids in the education system.
I went to my early years. I went to mostly Catholic school.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. AG, you just keep getting more interesting. So did you go to Catholic high school too the whole way?
Not the whole way. 2.5 years.
Tell me about those.
Then
years.
They decided I was probably not a good fit.
Did you get kicked out?
School.
You got kicked out of Catholic
kind
school?
Of. It was sort of a mutually exclusive
you guys
decision.
You and the nuns.
Yeah,
you got together. You know, it's not a good fit. Yeah.
Oh, that'll break your heart having a nun give up on you. That'll.
Hell, I might have earned it.
Yeah.
Was it all girls or co-ed?
It was all girls. 600 students all told. There would have been 260 in my graduating class. And I had a mohawk, so they were a little wary of me. But I was a straight-A student. And the way that they did the school there is every single grade is weighted. So it's like, you know, at a public school, they have some AP classes. They have weighted grades. Mm-hmm. And then they have some regular classes that are regular grades. This school, all the grades are weighted. Everything's AP. And so it was a college preparatory school. And it was Jesuit Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Those are the smart ones.
Yeah, all girls.
Ignatius.
And we had an all-boys school down the street. And they were the ones who we did our dancers and mixers with. Yeah. But I, of course, didn't date any of them. I dated the public school.
Yeah. Free shit. Because the Mohawk.
Yeah. But, you know, my dad died when I was 16. So I was just a messed up kid when I was 16. I had an excellent, excellent taste in music and style and fashion. some might say I was troubled, but I thought it was rad.
two sides of the same coin, I think. Mm. Yeah.
I bet those public school dudes thought you were pretty rad too.
I was very popular.
Yeah. At your school?
Mohawk or? And a Catholic school uniform.
Oh man. Wow. It
goes over pretty well.
That is very specific.
It goes down well. And I didn't mean that to say that. It goes over very well.
I gotcha. Did you have like a cool car to complement the whole thing?
No, I had a Hyundai XL.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah. You know, it's terrible.
It added to some of it. Yeah.
And she's also down to earth because she has the Excel, you know?
We were good. We were upper middle class, but we weren't like super rich like some of the kids that went there.
There's a few ways to like ruin a kid.
And so they all had Volkswagen nice Cabriolet convertibles.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, if you give your kid their first car a nice car, then you're like, hey, I'm just going to make it so nobody likes you.
I work in Coronado and I saw a kid driving a Raptor, like a Ford Raptor. It's like a $65,000 truck.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a super expensive truck. It's a super nice, like expensive, like truck. Mm. And I saw some kid driving the other day. I was like, "This kid
is the only vehicle.
There's not a good outcome.
Is its
for this
front
kid.
Arms too small? Dude, is it just rear wheel drive?
Fueled by like venom too, like a little poisonous thing.
when the timing starts to go. Yeah.
And it's the only vehicle on Coronado that's not a golf cart.
Yeah,
so it really, really stands out.
Fit on the Coronado road.
Yeah, it stands out. Yeah,
it takes the whole bridge as it goes over.
It's the cause of the traffic across the span every time.
One thing that I was interested to talk to you about is, you know, this is something that you know we talk about a lot, me and my wife, and as friends, as other people as well, and it's something that you wrestle through a lot raising kids right now who have like a, you know, like. What kids know about like politics and news is very limited, you know, like my son's like, it's like very popular where we live to like for everyone to make fun of Trump. And Joel brought this poster home that had like little cartoons of all of the presidents. And he wrote one thing on two of the presidents, only two of the presidents. One was Zachary Taylor because we're related to him. Yeah, which is the most random president ever.
Privilege.
That was a long time ago. He's the only president to die in office of natural causes.
Mm.
That's our legacy right there. He was one. He was like Washington.
He got a lot to live up to.
Right. Yeah. He was like Washington, where they're like, "Hey, we need a guy to be in charge. Who is our good general?" He was one of those guys.
Yeah.
So they put him in, and then so he wrote that like great uncle or something like that. And then the other one was Trump. And he just wrote, "Soup's racist."
I love kids, dude. That's so great.
Soup's racist.
Soup's racist. that's what the senior in Trump Senior stands for.
Yes,
it's our soup's racist.
Yeah, and the junior is just junior racist.
Just racist.
Soup's racist. Just racist.
That's
it's hard.
How old?
He is 11. That's fantastic. When he was 10. But that's just schoolyard stuff because, you know, those kids live in social media and the social media that they see, even though Joel's not on it, is, you know, pretty anti-making. And then he lives with me, which is, you know, even though like we're pretty moderate politically, like our currency is humor. So like there's just nobody that I want.
That's a gold mine of jokes though.
Yeah.
With Trump. And he is soup's racist.
Just ask an 11-year-old. They know what's up. Dude, they're saying that like
that's so
in
crazy.
Between Foursquare serves.
That's really funny, yeah. It is funny like when he like that he looms so large compared to like I mean when we were growing up, I mean you didn't really like if someone asked you who the president was when you were 10 years old, you'd have to really think about it.
The first time I really knew what was going on as a kid was not because of Bill Clinton, but because of a specific intern.
Sure.
That was the first time.
Yeah, I used to watch Saturday Night Live, so you could get it from
Saturday Night
Live.
That was a
he got impeached. Like that was a massive story. And you're like, why is the
president? Well, I knew all about Reagan because my parents were Reagan Republicans.
There you go. Yeah.
And then I was, by the time I hit college, that was my first election was Clinton. Mm-hmm. Ferris Bueller taught me a lot about
flag
that.
Was the band. Was that?
listen to New Order. No. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I found out just recently, though, that we actually have a lot of fans listening to our podcast that are tweens.
Oh, interesting. Hmm.
And I was like, what? Because we say f*** all the time. Right. Okay.
This will easily be our most bleeped episode. That's not true.
And, you know, we do it. We say, hey, we're comics before we're journalists. But people still get a little upset. They're like, you could catch more honey, flies with honey, and be a good girl. You know, I'm like, I can't.
Who wants flies? Like, who wants all these? Who's...
Yeah, great analogy. Yeah. Really good.
I love flies. but I found out, like, people have started writing me letters like, because I've asked. I was like, if you've got a tweet, because I found out that these couple little girls in Maryland were really into me, and they listened because her mom tweeted. She was like, yeah, I was sitting there, and I was talking to my husband about Matthew Whitaker, and my 12-year-old goes, do you mean Matthew Whitaker, because that's what we call him on the show. And she goes, where'd you hear that? She's like, Mueller, she wrote. And so she started listening. She's like, oh my God, this is great.
I love it.
And they're military families too, which is interesting. But she actually has two autistic brothers, and she helps, she volunteers at a summer camp to help autistic children, because 1 in 59 military children have autism. And then also,
certainly there's no cause and effect there.
There aren't any studies that I am satisfied with the findings to determine why.
Okay, so it's a stat though, yeah.
It is a stat. She's like, really, and she helped Chef Andres when they had the government shutdown. Yeah, he was doing all that. She dragged her whole family out there. I'm like, what a bunch of cool kids. So I said, let me shout him out on the pod, and I shout him out by name, and they're like, wah! And so then we found out all about all these different young kids that it's mostly girls who are listening to our podcast, and we're like,
cool, man. At least, like, you're informative. Like, you know, when, like, we would listen to, like, inappropriate stuff or, like, dirty words, it would just be, like, for the sake of the dirty word. Yeah. At least they're picking up some news and info.
That's
and they're,
true.
You know, thinking critically and all those kind
of
things.
I was the youngest of four boys by 9 years. I listened to a lot of Jerky Boys because it was just easier to let me listen to stuff that wasn't appropriate.
And that's what I'm talking about. At least you were learning something.
So I just learned how to do prank calls.
Point.
I mean, I didn't really learn a really big appreciation for prank calls, which I carry to this day.
Thank God that era
watching
is
the Playboy
over.
Channel through the blurred out line.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that Mueller? Yeah, that's what's happening.
Well, what I was getting at too was, so, like, I would be curious, here, and even more so now, since you mentioned you have, you know, young listeners, is, you know, to me, and this could be my own flaws as a human, of the challenge now is of staying informed is knowing what's true. It's epistemology. It's the study of truth. It's the, okay, information is presented to me. How do I know if this is true? How do I determine if this is an accurate, or for lack of a better term, what's fake news and what's not?
And what a great teaching moment. What a great time to be a child in, so that you can have parents who guide you to how to look those things up and verify for yourself, whatever it is. You know, I would be, and if I had kids, which I don't, so it's easy for me to tell you what you should do if you have them.
No, that's why I asked.
Bring me what you, if you are wondering if something is true, bring it to me. Let's look it up. Let's try to find out. Let's try to verify it. Let's look and see what we know as sources to be credible and what we know as sources to not be. And this is going to be perfect when they go into college, because you are going to get laughed out of a room if you try to bring a Breitbart article in to cite a source in a paper.
Right.
They'll laugh you out of
the
room.
College, but.
unless you go to Liberty University. Yeah. But, you know, then you can talk about what credible sources are. You can talk about what, you know, credible sources are. You can talk about, I mean, there's just, you can talk about civics. You can be like, all right, well, this is an interesting question. Let's talk about why the grand jury can subpoena this person, but they can't subpoena, or they're not going to subpoena this person, and we can have a little sort of Schoolhouse Rock moment and talk about how the government works. I think that has been lacking for the last two decades, and that's actually, you could say, since Nixon. Everyone was sort of into it for a while, and then it died off, and now here we all are, Gen Xers, like, not giving a
right.
And this is what happens when we become apathetic about the news that we get in the government, because fake news is not a new thing. That was
sure.
That happened back in,
sure.
in during Watergate and mm-hmm. well before that too. And we forget, and we get apathetic, and then we end up with the government we deserve. And I think that that's why it's these mm. these questions, I think, bring excruciatingly teachable moments that I would be excited to show anybody.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think that's a great perspective that I have not had. And granted, they haven't asked a lot
Soup's
of hard
racist
questions.
Soup's racist is pretty good, though.
Because again, I'm just like, if it's not funny, I have no interest in it.
You can't use a meme that you found on Facebook to defend your position. Yeah. You need to find a credible,
if there's no memes,
citable source. You'd be like, right. Here's this, and here's why I think this, yeah. and here's my debate. And I don't know. I just think it's
kind
of a cool
movement.
It'd be amazing
if, like, in the future, you just see kids' reports, all memes, and then the bibliography is just like the URLs. Just a link to people's Instagram.
Yeah. Do you think that Idiocracy is real.
Oh, yeah.
We have to stop that.
Even, yeah, no, I haven't rewatched Idiocracy.
It's going to be one or the other. We're at a crossroads.
Yeah.
We're either going to go down to Costco law degrees and meme dissertations, or we're going to be able to stay on the path that we should be on. I fortunately don't have children, so no legacy,
right.
So I don't give a f-
Well, cool.
I'm kidding. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't give a f-
Well, do you think that the, and this would be a good place to wrap up, do you think that it's, because the overall, the common denominator to me in apathy, the common denominator that we talked about of, like, okay, these things are happening they've been happening that we didn't know about, but they, you know, we see them now, is just the quantity of information. And that's the hard part, is the sifting. And I think that does lead to apathy. I think it leads to atrophy too, of you're just like, oh,
decision fatigue.
Where do I even land on this?
That's the whole reason I put this thing together, is because there's so much information coming out, and just in this investigation
right.
alone. And I didn't want people to get fatigued by it. I didn't want people to lose faith. I didn't want people to lose hope. I wanted to bring it in a funny way to keep people interested and keep people engaged. That's why I give everybody nicknames.
Yeah.
And make it like a, you know, because we have a reality TV star mm-hmm. keeping it interesting for his group of people who he needs
sure.
to keep it entertaining yeah. and interesting for. And everybody over here is so serious, and here's details and information and facts and things.
Right,
and I'm like,
right.
You can't do that anymore, because we take in data 1,600 times more a day than we did in the first 100,000 years we were humans or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm making that up, but it's something crazy
right.
like that.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And you're right, that just having to go through it and sift through all of it is fatiguing, and it makes you want to disengage,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I get that.
Well, I appreciate that you actually did something about it. Mm-hmm. Like, you took an action. Because I, you know, in general, like I mentioned, even just personally, politically, I land pretty much in the middle, which is how you, when you're raised by like a super conservative, rednecky dad, super
liberal. Zachary Taylor,
yeah. Well, and then, but in, yeah, exactly, right? No, that's, not bragging. That could not be more the opposite of my childhood.
Soup's moderate.
Yeah, soup. But anyway, what I'm saying is I think many, many people share that same sentiment
yeah.
that we were talking about. And then regardless of where you land politically, you're like, well, I'm going to do something about it. Like, I'm going to sift through information. I'm going to try and present arguments. I'm going to have a good time with it. We're going to do it in our own unique voice, as opposed to doing with the other thing, which a lot of tendencies, including my own, which is be like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It just will work itself out. I'll just send a dumb tweet out every once in a while. That'll make a difference.
Well, that's also kind of what I'm depending on, is that our justice system and our system of government and our system of civics and the way that the Constitution was written and the way that it was amended will make it so you can be like, whatever, and things will probably end up being okay.
Right. That's kind of the point of reputational government. You mm-hmm. kind of vote for somebody who you think like, yeah, and then you take care of it. I'm
yeah.
going
to
go.
That's the whole republic part
yeah,
of it.
Yeah.
I don't have
to
do this. This is on you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Did you say Knott's Berry
Farm? Knott's Berry Farm? I forget. I don't live in Cerritos, California anymore. I'm going to go to Soak City.
Perfect. Well, AG, we appreciate you doing this.
Yeah,
and,
no problem.
Where can people find you?
Yeah, MuellerSheWrote.com, at MuellerSheWrote on Twitter. Just go to any podcast platform, search for Mueller, She Wrote, and you'll find it.
Will people like this if they're the descendant of a president or no?
Yeah, I think you will.
Okay, good. All right, thank you. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have not done so already, please rate and subscribe. Follow us on all the social medias and share with all of your friends. Also, if you want to shoot us a note, you can email us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and you have not done so already, please go back and listen to all the episodes we've done before. Thanks so much, everybody.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Cafe quality brews without a barista? That's the Ninja Lux Cafe. Yep, no skills needed. Rich espresso, balanced drip coffee, rapid cold brew, all made by you because Barista Assist technology handles the details. Grinding, weighing, brewing, so you don't have to. Finished with silky microfoam made with dairy or plant-based milk, hot or cold, hands-free. Still no skills needed. From first-timer to full-blown coffee fan, you can brew it all with the Ninja Lux Cafe. Shop now.